Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Thursday, July 2nd, 2020. Coming up this hour.
The surge in coronavirus infections continues across the South.
California hits pause on indoor business in most of the state.
McDonald's and Apple roll back reopening plans.
And Wall Street awaits monthly jobs data that may already be outdated.
Dining in New York City restaurants is officially on hold, while New Jersey sounds the alarm about a sudden uptick in cases. I'm Amy Morris. More ahead.
I'm John Stashower in sports. The NFL has cut the preseason in half, and we'll hear from Aaron Boone, his Yankees back together again.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak on Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning, I'm Karen Moscow.
I'm Nathan Hager. Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by IBKR, the professional's gateway to the world's markets. Their clients enjoy lowest cost access to stocks, options, futures, forex, and fixed income from a single integrated account. Learn more at IBKR.com.
And U.S. futures are gaining ahead of the monthly payrolls report, 6:01 on Wall Street. And we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures are up about 20 points. Dow futures up 228. NASDAQ futures up 45. The DAX in Germany is up 1.9%. 10-year Treasury, little change, yield 0.67%. Yield on the 2-year, 0.16%. NYMEX crude oil is up 1% or 39 cents at $40.21 a barrel. And COMEX gold up 0.25% or $4.20 at $17.84.10 an ounce. Nathan.
Karen, the surge in coronavirus infections continues throughout the South. Arizona reported a record number of cases on the same day Vice President Mike Pence paid a visit to the state.
We say to the people of Arizona, we're with you. We're going to make sure that Arizona has whatever it takes to meet this moment.
Arizona registered nearly 5,000 new cases, plus increases in deaths and emergency room admissions. Pence is asking residents to take precautions.
Wear a mask when indicated by state or local authorities or when social distancing is not possible.
Infections in Florida continue to rise, prompting Miami-Dade County to require masks in public. Beaches are closed in the county, but open in other parts of the state. Governor Ron DeSantis is pushing back against criticism for the move.
I'm more concerned about, you know, people crowding into the AC and having private parties and things like that where you're real close contact.
Daily infections also hit a record in Texas, where intensive care units in Houston have now exceeded capacity. For the first time, daily coronavirus cases passed 50,000 nationwide, the highest level yet in the pandemic.
The South isn't the only place seeing a surge. As cases in California rise, the state is shutting down indoor business in counties holding over 70% of the population. Ed Baxter has the latest from our Bloomberg 960 newsroom in San Francisco.
Governor Gavin Newsom says Los Angeles County is included.
In restaurants, wineries, and tasting rooms, movie theaters, family entertainment, broadly defined, zoos, museums, and card rooms.
He also said the state is setting up what he calls enforcement strike teams made up of regulators which can act on businesses. He's also discouraging family 4th of July gatherings, saying extended families are among the fastest growing spread of the virus. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thanks, Ed. As the outbreak spreads, McDonald's is stopping dine-in services at all locations across the country. Apple had just reopened stores. Now it's closing them again. With more on that, here's Bloomberg's Charlie Pellett.
The technology giant is closing several stores in the Los Angeles area, along with locations in Las Vegas, Alabama, Idaho, Oklahoma, Georgia, and Louisiana. It earlier shut stores in Florida, Mississippi, Texas, and Utah, bringing the total to 77. Charlie Pellett, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Charlie, thank you. As business hits pause, it raises questions about how relevant today's jobs data will be. We get the payrolls report for June in about 2.5 hours from now. And here with a preview is Bloomberg's Michael McKee.
The spike in COVID cases around the country has states and cities rolling back reopening plans, raising questions about how many people hired back in June will be unemployed again in July. The unemployment rate, meanwhile, will suffer from classification errors, either continued confusion about who is or isn't on payrolls, or because they've fixed the errors and the data don't line up with previous months. Political candidates will jump on any numbers that might suggest how fast the labor market is recovering, while the Black Lives Matter protests put a spotlight on minority unemployment rates. Michael McKee, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Michael, thank you. And tune in for live coverage and analysis of the jobs data at 8:30 a.m. Wall Street time, followed by an interview with White House Economic Advisor Larry Kudlow. Catch that conversation at 10 a.m. on Bloomberg Radio and Television.
On the policy front, minutes from the latest Fed meeting show officials staying clear of yield curve control. For now, Bloomberg's John Tucker joins us live with details. Good morning, John.
Yeah, Nathan, Fed officials did discuss setting targets for Treasury yields, but the minutes show they were very wary. The minutes also note the need for highly accommodative monetary policy for some time to come. Well, some officials expressed concern that low yields make their asset purchases less effective. When it comes to the economy, policymakers expect consumer spending to rebound strongly in the second half. They also appear willing to push lawmakers for additional stimulus. I'm John Tucker, Bloomberg Daybreak.
John, thank you. And on the political front, the House has passed a bill imposing sanctions on banks that do business with China. We get the details on the measure from Bloomberg's Selena Wang in Beijing.
This bill is similar but not identical to the measure passed by the Senate last week, which would impose sanctions on banks that do business with Chinese officials involved in cracking down on Hong Kong. But this bill does still need to be approved by the Senate again before going to President Trump for his signature. But that is expected to happen very soon. This move is in response to China enacting the national security law in Hong Kong, which goes beyond what many investors, democracy advocates, and even pro-Beijing politicians have expected. According to Bloomberg Intelligence, China's largest banks have some $1.1 trillion in dollar funding at stake and face potentially steep fines from this sanctions bill.
Bloomberg's Selena Wang reports the measure is in addition to sanctions punishing China over human rights abuses. Those penalties had been delayed by the White House as officials negotiated their Phase 1 trade deal. Futures this morning are on the rise. S&P futures up about 17 points. Dow futures up 203. NASDAQ futures up 36. The DAX in Germany's up 1.6%. 10-year Treasury up 1/32nd, yield 0.67%, and the yield on the 2-year 0.16%. And straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news, and this is Bloomberg.
All right, Karen, thank you. It is 6:07 on Wall Street, and Amy Morris is here with more on the surging coronavirus across the country. Good morning, Amy.
Good morning, Nathan. As that number of positive coronavirus cases in more than half the country is rising, in New York State, Governor Andrew Cuomo says virus testing is open to all residents.
We're now expanding our testing criteria. We have so increased our testing capacity that we can expand our testing criteria.
He says it doesn't cost anything, it doesn't hurt, and he is urging all New Yorkers to get tested. There are now more than 750 testing sites throughout the state of New York. Now, indoor dining at New York City restaurants is on hold out of concern it would cause a spike in coronavirus infections. Mayor Bill de Blasio says there's still plenty of room for dining al fresco.
It is the time to double down on outdoor dining. And so far, we have 6,600 restaurants that have taken advantage of our Open Restaurants Initiative. I believe there are many more that could benefit from it.
De Blasio did say New Yorkers are free to hit the shoreline.
Our New York City beaches open today.
Atlantic City's casinos will also reopen today. Gamblers will not be allowed to smoke, drink, or eat inside the casinos. You'll still have to wear a mask, and you have your temperature checked when you're there. New Jersey Governor Phil Murphy says residents can still easily undo all of the work toward curbing the spread of the coronavirus.
Everyone needs to be an example of personal responsibility. It isn't up to some of us to beat COVID-19. It's up to every single one of the 9 million of us.
New Jersey has also hit pause on reopening indoor dining. There's been a one-day uptick in coronavirus hospitalizations. President Trump has said he would wear a mask if he were in a tight situation with people, but that he's not convinced they should be required, even as cases are spiking in parts of the U.S.
I have no problem with that. I think, and if people feel good about it, they should do it.
The president tells Fox Business that everyone around him is tested for coronavirus. Global news 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Amy Morris. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Thanks, Amy. 6:09 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg Sports Update. Here's John Stenshower.
All right, Nathan, that ugly baseball labor dispute that nearly prevented any season from being played created bad blood that could linger into negotiations for an actual collective bargaining agreement. The current one expires after next season, and this won't help. Commissioner Rob Manfred told Dan Patrick's radio show that the owners were never going to agree to play more than the 60 games they are playing. That may come as news to the players, whose first proposal was to play 114 games. For now, players are back with their teams. Aaron Boone talked to the YES Network about precautions at Yankee camp.
We'll work closely with the guidelines, with trainers, with how we have to, you know, space guys out and work things out. We feel like we've got a pretty good plan in place. We know we're going to have to remain flexible as we go, as things change. But I do feel like we're ready to, you know, kick things off and hopefully make the most of the 3 weeks we have building up into the season.
Boone's Yankees were supposed to play a game this season in Iowa against the White Sox, the so-called Field of Dreams game, but they aren't playing the White Sox. They're not traveling that far. So reportedly, the White Sox will instead face the Cardinals in Iowa. August 13th, they've built an 8,000-seat stadium for the game, but presumably fans will not be allowed in. Bill Cowher, the former Steelers coach, was to be inducted into the Hall of Fame next month. Those ceremonies put off until next year. Cowher has revealed that he and his wife both had the virus. They had symptoms in March after trips to New York and Hawaii. Never got tested, but got a positive test for antibodies in April. The virus is causing the NFL to do something many have called for anyway, a reduction of the preseason, at least for this year. It goes from four games down to two. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan?
All right, John, thanks. Tune in tomorrow night for the Bloomberg Business of Sports show. We'll have a wide-ranging interview with Atlanta Hawks CEO Steve Koonin, getting back to basketball during the pandemic, plus the team turning their arena into Georgia's largest ever voting center this fall will be just some of the topics you will hear tomorrow night at 7 and Saturday at 11 a.m. on Bloomberg Radio. And subscribe to Bloomberg Business of Sports wherever you get your podcasts. S&P futures higher by 17 points before the release of the June jobs report and weekly unemployment claims. Dow futures up 213. NASDAQ futures higher by 38 points. This is Bloomberg. It's just before 6:12 on Wall Street. Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by National Realty. NRIA, developers of high-return income-producing properties for investor partners. See them at NRIA.net.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. European stocks rising along with U.S. stock index futures as hopes for reassuring jobs data later in Washington add to momentum from positive vaccine developments. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures up 16 points this morning. Dow futures up 201. NASDAQ futures up 38. The DAX in Germany is up 1.5%. 10-year Treasury up 1/30. Second yield 0.67%. The yield on the 2-year 0.16%. NYMEX crude oil is up 0.4% or 15 cents at $39.96 a barrel. COMEX gold is up 0.3% or $5.30 at $17.85.20 an ounce. The euro 1.1279 against the dollar. British pound 1.2508 and the yen 107.44. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Amy Morris with more on what's going on around the world. Amy.
Karen, the surge in coronavirus infections continues throughout the South. Arizona reporting a record number of cases, plus increases in deaths and emergency room admissions. Daily infections also hit a record in Texas, where intensive care units in Houston have now exceeded full capacity. Infections in Florida are rising, prompting Miami-Dade County to require masks in public. Pennsylvania will also now require masks. For the first time, daily coronavirus cases passed 50,000 nationwide. That's the highest level yet in the pandemic. Other news we're watching. House lawmakers passed a bill imposing sanctions on banks that do business with Chinese officials involved in cracking down on pro-democracy protesters in Hong Kong. Global news 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Amy Morris. This is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Okay, Amy, thank you. It is 6:19 on Wall Street and live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. On this Jobs Thursday, we're joined by Kevin Cummins, economist at NatWest Markets. Of course, we're getting the June payrolls report and the latest weekly jobless claims at the same time this morning. What's going to have more weight for you, Kevin?
I think the monthly jobs report, just because it's so comprehensive. The weekly jobless claims data have given a bit of a mixed backdrop over the past couple of months from the perspective, like, for example, last month there was an enormous miss and underestimated going into the monthly jobs report estimates based on if you were to just look at initial jobless claims. So normally claims, I think, are a very reliable indicator, but I think there's some distortions going on with those numbers, given that it's likely that we're still seeing a lagged effect of earlier claims, and perhaps people are refiling and there's some double counting going on because claims have come down, but they're still at a stubbornly high level.
All right. So what are you going to be looking for specifically in the broader report that's going to help you gauge the path of the recovery for the labor market?
Yeah, well, it'll be interesting to see as far as how quickly jobs are added back. I think in the big picture, you know, I myself am looking for a little bit of fireworks. I see this morning that payrolls and the Bloomberg consensus are a little above 3 million. I'm well more than double that. I'm up over 7 million job gains in June. So we'll see. I mean, there was obviously an enormous miss, and, you know, creating a precise estimate for payrolls in the current environment is extremely difficult. So I think you kind of got to look through a little bit of the noise. One of the big things that I think people will be focused on is whether or not the BLS is able to sort of correct for this miscalculation issue that they've underestimated the unemployment rate. So what's oddly enough, they've had this issue with past several months now where the people who are conducting the survey and the people who are responding, there's some miscommunication there in that they're classifying employed people or people who have been laid off temporarily as employed for other reasons. So if those workers were counted as employed, then the unemployment rate is artificially being held back. There's been this classification issue that in April, it underestimated, according to the BLS, nearly 5 percentage points higher the unemployment rate would be. And then in May, it would have been 3 percentage points higher. The BLS obviously is well aware of this. They put up some notes this week and background information. They think that they have improved the process, but we'll see. It wouldn't be, it could be a little bit unclear because you could see the unemployment rate actually rise versus May, even though it will fall if the classification issue was removed for those earlier months, which they've said they're not going to change the earlier months numbers. So it could create a little confusion there. So some clarity from the BLS, I assume, on this will be released at 8:30.
Even if we get that clarity and if we get a jump in payrolls, how much will it matter, though, if we are starting to see, as we are, this dial back in reopening activity in the parts of the country that are seeing surges in coronavirus?
Yeah, I think that's hitting it on the head for the next month's report. I think this is a little bit stale from that perspective, that we are starting to see kind of the pause button hit on a lot of these states that are kind of starting to reopen. And even from a broader perspective, not even so much what's going on, say, this week or next week or last week, but even from a broader perspective, I mean, we saw an above consensus number last month of 2.5 million jobs added. If you look at the level of payrolls versus where you were in February, you were still 13% below where you were. So there are over 15 million unemployed people. And if you look at the number of job losses, that number goes up to 20 million. It's going to take a long time, and it's going to take very strong job growth to get back to pre-COVID levels. So the recovery is going to be a very gradual, prolonged recovery. Even if today's number beats expectations, and if for the sake of luck it comes in as close to my number, I think people have to consider how deep and how severe this current recession is. It's the deepest in postmodern history. So, you know, from a broader perspective, the unemployment rate is still nearly 10 percentage points above where it was at 3.5% heading into this pandemic.
A lot to watch out for as that June payrolls report and the weekly unemployment claims come out at 8:30 a.m. Wall Street time, just a little more than 2 hours from now. Kevin Cummins, economist at NatWest Markets, thanks so much for the preview. Really appreciate it this morning. Ahead of all that, futures are pointing higher with S&P futures gaining by almost 16 points right now. Dow futures up 199, NASDAQ futures ahead by 35 points, 10-year 0.67% yield, and the yield on the 2-year 0.16%. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Bloomberg 1130 weather. Looking for sunshine today, a high near 90 degrees. Chance for showers and thunderstorms tomorrow. 4th of July looks nice, partly sunny, low 80s. 69 right now in New York.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130 to Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 991 to Boston. Bloomberg 1061 to San Francisco. Bloomberg 960 to the country. Sirius XM Channel 119 and around the globe. The Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
And it's 6:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow, and we're just about 3 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. U.S. futures are gaining ahead of the monthly jobs report, and despite a surge in coronavirus infections, Arizona reported a record number of cases on the same day Vice President Mike Pence paid a visit to the state.
With cases rising dramatically, not just here in Maricopa County, but all across Arizona, we wanted to be here to get a report from the ground.
And that report showed a daily jump of 5,000 new cases. Daily infections also hit a record in Texas, where intensive care units in Houston have now exceeded full capacity.
Now, the outbreak has California Governor Gavin Newsom shutting down some business operations.
We have specifically targeted our efforts to close indoor operations, and I want to reinforce this. Indoor operations.
Well, the move will affect counties that hold more than 70% of the state's population as cases in California rise. Still, President Trump expects the pandemic to fade. He spoke with Blake Berman on Fox Business.
I think that at some point that's going to sort of just disappear, I hope.
You still believe so? Disappear?
Well, I do. Yeah, sure, at some point. And I think we're going to have a vaccine very soon, too.
For the first time, daily coronavirus cases passed 50,000 nationwide. That's the highest level yet in the pandemic.
As fresh restrictions take effect, it raises questions about how relevant today's jobs data will be. Paul Krugman is Distinguished Professor of Economics at City University of New York.
Going to look good, but it's going to be in the rearview mirror, and it's going to be a dead cat bounce. And it's clear that the high frequency data and everything we're seeing says that we just hit a wall because of the spiking cases in the Sun Belt.
Tune in 2 hours from now for live coverage and analysis of the payrolls report, followed by an interview with White House Economic Advisor Larry Kudlow.
Well, meantime, minutes from the latest Fed meeting show officials staying clear of yield curve control for now. Bloomberg's John Tucker joins us live with details. Good morning, John.
And Nathan, central bankers seem opposed to caps on yields or targets anytime soon. Nearly all the participants had questions regarding the costs and benefits of yield curve control. They also appear ready to enhance forward guidance by tying future moves by the Fed to inflation or unemployment. I'm John Tucker, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, John, thank you. S&P futures higher this morning, up 17 points. Dow futures up 218. NASDAQ futures up 36. The DAX in Germany is up 1.6%. 10-year Treasury, that'll change. Yield 0.67%. The yield on the 2-year, 0.16%. NYMEX crude oil is up 0.6% or 24 cents at $40.07 a barrel. And straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. And this is Bloomberg.
All right, Karen, thank you. 6:33 on Wall Street. Let's get a deeper look now at the coronavirus surge. Here's Bloomberg's Amy Morris. Amy?
Well, Nathan, we are seeing more positive coronavirus cases than ever each day in the U.S. New York Governor Andrew Cuomo is making testing available now to all residents for free.
All New Yorkers can now go get a test. And what I'm saying to all New Yorkers today is go get a test.
There are now more than 750 testing sites throughout the state of New York. But concerns about a resurgence of the virus in New York City put a hold on indoor dining. Mayor Bill de Blasio says the infection spikes in places that have tried it, indoor dining, it's a deterrent.
We're going to work with the state of New York to figure out what is the exact right way to do this. How to postpone indoor dining till the right moment. What the approach would be to determine when it makes sense to go about it again.
De Blasio did say the beaches are open just in time for the long Independence Day weekend.
We are ready for a great holiday weekend. The lifeguards are ready to go. New Yorkers can stay cool.
A one-day uptick in hospitalizations in New Jersey rang some alarm bells for Governor Phil Murphy. In the past day, 45 people have died from COVID-19.
We know we are going to keep having days where the numbers go up. The task for all of us is to make sure that those one-day increases don't turn into trends.
New Jersey has also delayed reopening indoor dining. Murphy says it is easy to become complacent.
No one, absolutely no one, especially our younger residents, can be lulled into complacency and think it's okay to crowd around bars without any regard for those around us. That is how we backslide. That's how we get pushed off our road back.
Atlantic City casinos reopening today with masks required and with temperature checks. No food, no beverages, no smoking. President Trump tells Fox Business that masks are fine if you want to wear one, but he doesn't believe they need to be required.
I'm all for masks. I think masks are good. I would wear, if I were in a group of people and I was close.
You would wear one.
Oh, I would. Oh, I have. I mean, people have seen me wearing one.
While he has pushed back against wearing a mask himself, he says he likes the way he looks in a mask. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Amy Morris. This is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Thank you, Amy. 6:35 on Wall Street. John Stashower is here with the Bloomberg Sports Update.
All right, Nathan, Mets and Yankees have begun summer training. Players got tested yesterday. There'll be workouts this weekend. And Aaron Boone told the Yes Network that before the July 23rd opening day, his team will be playing against each other.
It's going to be different than a normal spring training. We're going to, you know, put a lot of value on live reps, you know, pitchers facing hitters, hitters facing pitchers, getting live defensive reps, trying to build guys up as safely and as smartly as we can. But we are going to put a value on competition from pretty early on in camp.
Boone's Yankees appear healthy with Aaron Judge, Aaron Hicks, James Paxton, and Giancarlo Stanton all having pretty much recovered from injury. Stanton's expected to be used mostly as the DH at Mets camp. Yoenis Cespedes, named from the past. He's only played 38 games since 2017, but after surgery on both heels, he could be the Mets DH. It's now the rule in both leagues. The Mets say Michael Conforto, who hurt his oblique in the spring, has recovered. Angels say Shohei Ohtani will be their DH when he's not pitching. He'll go back to doing both. Last season, he was just a hitter. The Mexican Baseball League's been around for nearly a century, was to start play next month, now canceling the season. There are those that think winning the championship in any of these sports will be more challenging than in any other season, considering the distractions and complications of the virus. Giannis Antetokounmpo, the reigning NBA MVP, points out there's no home court advantage. That hurts a team like Milwaukee, who was a league-leading 53-12 at the time of the shutdown in March. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan?
All right, John, thank you. Turning back to markets now, gold is up 16% on the year as central banks around the world take extraordinary measures to stem the fallout from COVID-19. And there's more room for gold to run, according to Francisco Blanche. Bank of America's head of commodities and derivatives research is raising his 18-month price target for the metal to $3,000.
I think there's a pretty good chance here that we'll see a big rotation into gold. Investors are confused. They don't know what to do with their asset allocations. And I think that a lot of them will end up choosing to go for the yellow metal as an alternative to cash. And that's ultimately what I think is going to drive this. And by the way, when I say investors, I don't mean just retail investors. I also think institutional investors are going to make that choice.
And checking gold right now, it is higher by 0.25% or $4.50 at $1,784.40 an ounce. Now, some other stories we're following. JetBlue has agreed not to furlough any pilots involuntarily until next May. That's in exchange for unspecified contract concessions designed to help the carrier cut expenses. Airlines worldwide have been slashing costs and reducing operations in response to the near disappearance of demand. Novartis is ending almost a decade of litigation, agreeing to pay more than $670 million to resolve a whistleblower case accusing the drug maker of paying kickbacks to doctors who prescribed its medicines. and Lemonade has raised nearly $320 million in its U.S. IPO. That's above the marketed range. It'll give the online home insurance provider a market value of $1.6 billion. Lemonade is backed by Japan's SoftBank Group, and it begins trading today on the New York Stock Exchange. Jeff Bezos is getting richer. Another day of gains for Amazon sent the CEO and founder's net worth to a new record that we hear about from Bloomberg's Charlie Pellett.
Shares of the Seattle-based retailer surged 4.4% to a record $2,878, boosting the founder's world-leading fortune to $171.6 billion. That tops his previous high of $167.7 billion set in September of 2018, according to the Bloomberg Billionaires Index. His gains of $56.7 billion this year alone underscore a widening wealth gap in the U.S. during the worst economic downturn since the Great Depression. Charlie Pellett, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thanks, Charlie. 6:39 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg Green Report. Here's Jeff Bellinger.
A paper prepared by 16 academic and government scientists says a global effort is needed to control so-called forever chemicals found in products ranging from textiles to firefighting foam. The American and European experts write in the journal Environmental Science and Technology Letters that the extreme persistence and potential harm from thousands of polyfluoroalkyl substances, or PFAs, require that they be controlled as a single class. The authors say the chemicals have similar molecular structures, environmental properties, and biological hazards, and managing them as a class can be an effective way to reduce adverse effects. They warn that continued use will result in increasing concentrations of PFAs, leading to more organisms being exposed and increasing the probability of harm. The paper says PFAs should be limited to essential uses only as safer alternatives are developed. Jeff Bellinger, Bloomberg Radio.
All right, Jeff, thank you. S&P futures higher by 19 points. Dow futures up 238. NASDAQ futures a gain of 38 points. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Bloomberg 1130 weather. Partly sunny today, going up to near 90, low 70s tonight. Maybe some showers and storms tomorrow afternoon with a high close to 90 degrees. Low 80s and partly sunny for the 4th of July. It's 70 degrees right now in New York.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. U.S. futures are rising along with European shares as hopes for reassuring jobs data later in Washington add to momentum from positive vaccine developments. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures are up 21 points. Dow futures up 247. NASDAQ futures up 39. The DAX in Germany is up 1.7%. 10-year Treasury, little change, 0.67%. The yield on the 2-year, 0.16%. NYMEX crude oil is up 0.6% or 24 cents at $40.06 a barrel. COMEX gold up 0.25% or $4.10 at $17.84 an ounce. The euro 1.1286 against the dollar. British pound 1.2514 and the yen 107.47. And we are watching for the June jobs report at 8:30 Wall Street time. It is being released today early as markets will be closed tomorrow for the July 4th holiday. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Amy Morris with more on what's going on around the world. Amy.
Karen, for the first time, daily coronavirus cases passed 50,000 nationwide, the highest level yet in the pandemic. Many of those caseloads surging across the South. Arizona reporting a record number of cases, plus increases in deaths and emergency room admissions. Daily infections hitting a record also in Texas, where intensive care units in Houston have exceeded full capacity. Infections in Florida also rising, prompting Miami-Dade County to require masks in public. But it's not just the South. Pennsylvania also now requiring masks. Other news we're following, House lawmakers passing a bill imposing sanctions on banks that do business with Chinese officials involved in cracking down on pro-democracy protesters in Hong Kong. The measure could head to the president's desk as soon as today. And the defense authorization bill unanimously passed the House Armed Services Committee. It includes a provision renaming military bases that are named for Confederate generals. President Trump has already threatened to veto the Senate's version of the bill. Global news 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Amy Morris. This is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Okay, Amy, thanks. We're live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. We're at 6:49 on Wall Street. Time now to check what's going on in D.C. Some of the top stories in the nation's capital. The House passes sanctions on China related to the new national security law in Hong Kong. More than half the Senate signs on to a bill to make Juneteenth a federal holiday. And Joe Biden out-fundraises President Trump for a second straight month with a $141 million haul in June. Also making news, the president speaking out for the first time about reports that Russia paid bounties to kill American forces in Afghanistan. Bloomberg News politics editor Kathleen Hunter joins me now with the latest on that, a story we've been following for the last several days, of course. And the president gave an interview to Fox Business Network in which he said that the story is a hoax by the newspapers and the Democrats. Is that lining up with what the White House has been telling lawmakers over the last few days?
Well, the thing is that it isn't really lining up. You know, what the White House has been telling lawmakers is more along the lines of, you know, this is something that they weren't totally able to verify, and that's why it wasn't brought to the level of, you know, being Trump being fully read in on it. And, you know, Trump coming out and calling it a hoax altogether, essentially saying there's no veracity to the reports at all, is certainly a departure from what the White House has been saying.
And we continue to get further reporting on just what it may have been behind that Russia bounty story. What kinds of questions does this continue to raise about the way that intelligence information is being presented to the president?
Well, I think there's several levels of questions. There's questions at this stage about, you know, at what stage in the process of, you know, looking at intelligence and deciding, you know, the relative level of, you know, veracity that's attached to it, at what stage in that process is the decision made to then brief the president on that intelligence, or at least provide that intelligence in the presidential daily briefing, which is a report that Trump receives, that every president receives every day. And then there's kind of a second level of questions about, you know, the extent to which Trump actually reads those reports and digests them. And so therefore, even if something was included in the daily briefing, whether or not that's something that he, you know, would be completely read in on, even if he did have it in front of him.
And this is something, isn't it, that Joe Biden is starting to seize on the president's response to these reports. How could this play out in the electoral race?
Well, I think it does bring back into focus a question that could be, you know, somewhat persuasive for certain voters, which is the degree to which Trump has been, I would put it this way, soft on Russia, you know, and that has certainly been the Democrats' claim that the president hasn't stood up to Russia, the implication being that is because, you know, Russia treated him favorably in the 2016 election. That's obviously something Trump has wholeheartedly disputed, but I think that this kind of brings that question back to the fore and has potentially the effect of, you know, energizing the Democratic base who, you know, this is all tied up in the same kinds of arguments that were made around impeachment. And so that's something that has the ability to generate, to energize the Democratic base. And potentially, and I think this is where it really matters, because the Democratic base has already been pretty energized, is the idea of whether or not this is something that could be persuasive to independent voters. And I don't know if we really know that yet, but that certainly would be a dynamic to watch.
And it's been interesting as this Russia story continues to unfold, and with the ongoing response to the coronavirus surge and racial tensions across the country, President Trump really seems to be leaning in on trying to drum up his base.
Oh, absolutely. And I think that, you know, Trump is someone who, when he's, you know, feels like his back is to the wall, he kind of goes to his, you know, go-to move, which is really to start kind of stoking, one of his go-to moves is really to start stoking kind of racial tensions. And I think that, you know, focusing on race issues is something that definitely does appeal to his base. The risk there, though, is that, you know, it could be a potential turnoff to more independent voters and swing voters. And so I think that is where it has the potential to backfire. But it's in some ways, you know, not surprising that we're seeing him this week tweet, you know, a number of things that are, you know, critical of the Black Lives Matter movement, because that's something that from his base's perspective certainly would be a positive.
Bloomberg politics editor Kathleen Hunter, thank you, as always. Karen?
All right, Nathan, thank you. It is 6:53 on Wall Street. It's time for the Bloomberg NJIT STEM Report. It's brought to you by New Jersey Institute of Technology, providing industry partners with commercially focused research and innovation services through its New Jersey Innovation Institute. Learn more at njii.com. Now let's see what's happening in science, technology, engineering, and math. NASA has delayed the launch of its newest Mars rover yet again to the end of July at the earliest, this time for a rocket issue. If the Perseverance rover is not on its way by mid-August, it'll have to wait until 2022 when Earth and Mars are back in proper alignment. The delay alone will cost NASA close to $500 million. The chief executive officers of Facebook, Alphabet, Amazon, and Apple have agreed to testify before a congressional panel investigating competition issues in the technology industry. That's according to a spokeswoman for the U.S. House Judiciary Committee. Antitrust scrutiny of giant tech companies is accelerating. Facebook and Google both face competition probes by federal enforcers in nearly all 50 states. Amazon and Apple are facing scrutiny from the European Union. And speaking of Amazon, Jeff Bezos' fortune has smashed through its previous peak, and that's after he gave up a quarter of his stake in Amazon as part of his divorce settlement last year. According to the Bloomberg Billionaires Index, Bezos' world-leading fortune is more than $171 billion. And that's today's Bloomberg NJIT STEM Report. It is time now for the Bloomberg Small Business Report. It's 6:55 on Wall Street, and here's John Tucker. John, good morning.
Hi, Karen. New York City is postponing the planned reopening of indoor dining next week. Indoor dining in New Jersey, that was supposed to start today, but that, too, has been postponed. And it's made a bad situation even worse for some restaurants. Tom Stewart owns Uncle Will's on New Jersey's Long Beach Island. We spoke with him at the start of the pandemic, and this morning we circle back. Tom, tell us how you're handling the postponement of indoor dining.
John, not only were we blindsided, both a tangible as well as an intangible problem. The tangible problem, of course, is businesses such as ours require several days in order to ramp up, if not several weeks. We had hired four or five new people to bring them back online to help us with the anticipated increase in business, as well as increasing our inventory, our food inventory, which, you know, we just can't go out back and slaughter an animal. We have to actually bring in prepared food and be able to use it. So that takes several days to get going.
What do you expect this weekend?
I have absolutely no idea. Frankly, and I'm being glib here, I wouldn't put past people who are capable of making such capricious and knee-jerk decisions to start closing the beaches again. The despondency has never been higher. You know, we had Hurricane Sandy make landfall half a mile away from here 7.5 years ago. The despondency that this community is facing now is 100% higher than having had 4 or 5 feet of water in buildings. And the biggest reason, John, is because then we knew there was an end. We knew that once we got things dried out and rebuilt and refurbished, we could get back to normalcy.
All right, Tom, good to hear your voice again. Tom Stewart of Uncle Will's Restaurant on the Jersey Shore. Best of luck. And we're going to continue to bring you stories of small businesses trying to adapt and survive in this pandemic every day at this time, right here on Bloomberg Radio. I'm John Tucker. That's your Bloomberg Small Business Report. Karen.
All right, John Tucker, thank you. Futures this morning are higher, with S&P futures up 21 points and Dow futures up 255. Bloomberg Surveillance is straight ahead with Tom Keene, Jonathan Farrell, and Lisa Abramowitz. For Nathan Hager, I'm Karen Moscow, and this is Bloomberg.